This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Warning accepted. David Halperin, go on with that description.
That UFOs are crucial to the ideology of the Nation of Islam, the people that we often call the Black Muslims. They are called the mother wheel. The mothership of the UFOs is called the mother wheel. And part of the ideology is that the other planets, like Mars, are inhabited by black people, and that these are the people who pilot the UFOs. And this seems to me, as an inexpert outsider, a mirror of the ideology of Adamski and company, which populates the solar system with Nordic whites.
It reminds me of the recent Black Panther film, where they did this whole cultural superhero thing with it. Yeah, it's on one hand it's received some rave reviews, and on the other it's been highly criticized as almost reinforcing the sort of racist stereotypes. So I'm not sure I know which way to go with it. I've seen the film. I just found it kind of entertaining, but it really reminds me of that a lot.
And there is a wonderful book, I don't know if either of you have read it, called From Motherland to Mothership by two African-American women who are twins. And one of them has what in the white tradition is called abduction experiences, but in the African-American tradition, these are entirely positive experiences. The examination table, in which all sorts of unpleasant things are done to abductees, becomes a bed in which the woman who's been abducted, who's been elevated, reunites with her estranged husband. And she describes visiting Mars, but Mars is a majority black planet, but there is a white minority. And unlike on this sorry earth, the two get along very, very well. And she calls out to the reader, "Let us walk hand in hand into this new reality." And I keep thinking that this echoes the line from We Shall Overcome, that we'll walk hand in hand someday.
And then you've got the whole reconciliation theme going in there again.
Yes.
And you've even got The World Will Live Together as One with John Lennon. These themes seem to pop up over and over again within ufology as a theme. That the aliens, or whatever the experience is, the cause of the experience, is inspiring in us. Maybe that's a good word, where they're instilling in us. If we think there's an objective reality, maybe they're socially engineering us.
Well, once again, that defines the difference between you and me.
It kind of adds up to be very much the same, though. I mean, if we were to distill it all down into two words, it sounds like social engineering.
Or perhaps social dreaming.
Dreams about how the UFOs can make our world, our world view, a better one. It's interesting how different cultures, too, if we're going to be looking at how this plays into religion or the analogies between it. When we see in different cultures that there's a black Jesus, there's a Central American Jesus. It seems like very much a parallel there then.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the twins who wrote this abduction memoir, one of them speaks of how she joined an abductee support group, which was entirely white, and that this was the place where she felt most accepted. And I think Kathleen Martin, and I saw it on her website, speaks of how there was only one place in the early 1960s where Betty and Barney Hill could be treated on equal terms as a couple, and that was on the flying saucer.
And yet, if we go back into, and this is an area where you are going to have much more expertise than me, if we do go back into the history of things, though, it seems that if we're going to equate God, like the Judeo-Christian God, with an alien of some kind, like this, the whole, say, the von Daniken ancient aliens type of thing, what we see there is a being that is taking sides. There is a specific culture that it supports and actively goes to war with the Egyptians. I mean, in one case, killing all the firstborn of the Egyptians. I mean, this is not necessarily the type of God that is all loving and all kind and bringing everyone together and reconciling. It's like, you know, you listen or else.
I think that all these aspects appear within religion as a whole, and particularly within the religious manifestation that I see ufology and UFOs as being. I mean, at one point, Marsha Randall, you spoke of, I think, a religious dogma. And I agree that UFOs are fundamentally religious. I don't think I would use the word dogma about them, though. I would use myth.
Well, I call it UFO lore. You know, the UFO lore is a lot like religious dogma. Or we could collectively just say it's kind of all mythology, and yet there seems to be still at the core of all of this certain kinds of experiences that people are having that lead them to believe and to set up these worldviews and their own paradigms.
So we have to ask, what are those experiences? And you will notice that in my retelling the story of John and May, I glided over one tremendously important problem, which is, why did the two of them, how was it that the two of them seemed to have witnessed the same thing?
Yeah, right, especially if it wasn't really visible to the camera. But then again, cameras, and even back in those days, unless you had a really good one and a long exposure, you're not going to get to see too much. I think this was at night, if I recall correctly. It went down the East River and made a turn at the United Nations building, which is symbolic. And,
ooh,
you know.
Ooh, I had forgotten that point.
Yeah, so, I mean, really interesting stuff, for sure. I mean, whole social engineering theme seems to be coming back, no matter what way we look at it, whether as mythology or as religion or as a UFO movement or a cultural movement. And we even have the First Nations people, is what we call them up here, then the Native North Americans. They have their own mythology, the Thunderbird and the beings from the Sirius star system, that sort of thing. It seems to be ubiquitous. No matter what culture, there's something there that fits.
Before we go on, let me remind you that we have the Paracast Plus, where you get a version of this show, enhanced audio, free of the network ads, and also the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next, and sometimes we don't either. How about that? Let's get into the cultural stuff that Randall's talking about in our next segment with David Halperin. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Randall, you want to continue that comment before David responds?
Well, I think David can pick it up there because, really, I'm just a generalist. I'm not a specialist. And I'd really actually like to hear you talk more about what this really means for you, the key parts. And let's go as deep into it as you want, David.
I think I started out with, or not this evening, but in my book, I start out with the story of what it meant to me. And then I have to say, well, am I just seeing it, projecting it into other people's experiences? But the more I study the UFO mythology, the more death emerged as a theme. It seems to me expressed in what is the best known of all the UFO myths, and that is Roswell, which is fundamentally about death.
Yeah, crashed saucer, alien bodies. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I remember writing about 10 years ago for a guest blog that the ancient Greeks believed the gods were immortal. The ufologists know better.
Right, but, you know, and it's interesting because when we start talking about death, we can also look at death as a new beginning, and Roswell really was a new beginning for ufology. That was basically the beginning of the modern era back in 1947. So with the death of the mythology of the gods comes the new mythology of the aliens.
With the reservation that Roswell went through a latency period. That is, there were 30 years in which no one ever heard of Roswell.
Wow, that's really interesting because that's sort of what happened with Christianity. It kind of all went away and then was reinvented some number of years later. That is really fascinating in its own way. It almost has to percolate or work its way into the background of the culture somehow, and then it reemerges as this very powerful force.
You see it in other aspects of the mythology. You see it with the abductions. Betty and Barney Hill became... real, I won't say household words, but certainly famous in 1966 with the publication of Curtis Fuller's articles about them. But for the next really 20 years, UFO abductions didn't take off. There were other reported abductions, but not the thousands that they blossomed into. Then in the late 80s, the 90s, UFO abduction became a cultural theme that was so well known that comic strips that parodied it and made fun of it could count on people getting the joke. The Men in Black. Barker published his They Knew Too Much in 1956. It was 40 years later that the Men in Black made it to Hollywood.
Well, first of all, it had become a graphic comic book. And remember also, John Keel talked up the Men in Black. But when it comes to Gray Barker, David, of course, we've got to wonder. I knew Barker. I'm sure you did as well. Gray could sometimes exaggerate things or give more prominence to stories that otherwise wouldn't merit attention. He wanted to create this mysterious paranoid atmosphere in his publications and later books. So I always wonder here, yes, there was an Albert K. Bender. Yes, he did talk about freeing Men in Black, but he also claimed it was about a contact experience, not three government agents. But Barker, you know, just amplified that in his presentation.
I mean, Barker is just an incredibly fascinating character. I mean, surely you've seen Bob Wilkinson's documentary about The Shades of Gray.
I have, and of course, like I said, I did know Barker, and we exchanged a lot of correspondence, met him a few times. Yes, he was fascinating. One of the most interesting works he wrote was The Silver Bridge, kind of allegorical treatment of the Mothman episode. Huh. Very different from John Keel's Mothman Prophecies.
Well, Keel himself said about Barker that up until 1959, I think that was the date Keel gave, that he was serious. But afterwards, he became a hoaxer. And you would never know, could never know what to believe. Mosley, I imagine Mosley knew him better than anyone, Jim Mosley. Mosley was struck that Barker believed that Bender really had discovered something and was silenced by three men. And I've seen correspondence in that wonderful resource, the Gray Barker Collection, in Clarksburg, West Virginia. I've seen correspondence that seemed to me that better bear that out, that Barker really did believe the stuff he was writing, and they knew too much.
Well, Jim Mosley confirmed that to me. We talked about Barker a lot, that after that, I guess after he had that book come out, they knew too much about flying saucers, he became disenchanted with everything. Remember also that Jim and Gray pulled lots and lots of stunts.
Yes.
After imbibing too many six-packs.
Now, did it seem to you that it was after They Knew Too Much came out, or after Bender's book, The Flying Saucers and the Three Men?
No, it was before. It goes to the late 50s. Remember the Strafe letter and all that stuff. So it started in the late 50s. Proceed to the 60s. And as far as Flying Saucers and the Three Men is concerned, I remember attending a lecture in New York City where Jim Mosley had this lecture series every month. And I listened to Bender tell the story that was recited in the book. The book was heavily edited by Barker. If you knew his writing style, you see what I mean. But I assume that the story was basically Bender's because he talked about it. And I don't know what to think. Was this something real, or did he write this book as fiction because he wanted to get people off his back?
I do know that there, in the Barker collection, there is a letter from 1954 from Bender to August Roberts saying that when I do write a book, it won't be about anything as nonsensical as the saucers, believe me.
It may also be in that sense that Gray Barker was disenchanted. Maybe he believed in saucers. Maybe he didn't. We certainly know that Jim Mosley believed in it first. He even believed in this Earth theory that they were secret weapons. He definitely had a belief system. With Barker, you can never tell. One way or the other. Maybe he was having fun, trying to make a living, whatever. There was probably a basic belief, but the rest, who knows? David Halpern, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Hurricane Dorian, still a Category 4 storm and expected to hit the Bahamas by this evening. And then, well, here's the latest forecast from Edward Rappaport at the National Hurricane Center.
After passing through the northwestern Bahamas, we forecast that the center will be turning
towards the northwest and in the north just off the Florida east coast, but close enough that those tropical storm force winds will likely impinge on the Florida east coast. And so we do have tropical storm watches now in effect for Palm Beach County up through the Treasure Coast. Depending on where the turn occurs, we'll be seeing tropical storms and perhaps hurricane conditions farther north as well as we get into early next week, then potentially into Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina.
South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster declaring a state of emergency for his state last night because of Dorian. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, the Three Men in Black didn't begin or end with Gray Barker or Albert K. Bender, and certainly John Keel brought up lots of cases, too. So it's an ongoing thing, or was. As far as the Men in Black, I think if we continue the history, it became a graphic comic book. And the graphic comic book is what the movies are based on. Go ahead.
Well, something else I was just thinking while you guys were talking is that, you know how you were saying, David, that the shape, the saucer shape is, it mirrors a mandala. It also mirrors a shield. And if you look in some of the ancient citing cases, you have them described as flying shields. And so
yes,
this is by, you know, the military of the time. And then in Egypt, it's described as a disc and compared with the disc of the sun or the disc of the moon. But they were actually talking about something separate from the sun in some cases. So it seems that the phenomena mirrors the worldview of the experiencer. And we've found this with Brian Bonner as well, right, Gene, where we were talking about how he goes out and if he's with a group of ghost hunters, well, they all interpret it as it's a ghost. Or if they're Bigfoot hunters, you know, Bigfoot is an animal, but if you're out with ufologists, well, maybe it's an alien creature. So this idea that the phenomena mirrors the worldview of the experiencer seems to be something that's quite common.
Well, certainly their interpretations would, but what interests me more is where what they see mirrors it, as with the airship of 1897.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It seems to the phenomena itself, whatever it is, Now, okay, maybe it's a craft that's got some sort of high-tech cloaking device that can change its appearance, you know, allows it to change its appearance to reflect back to the observer what they want it to, so as to create a certain type of stimulus to then study the behavior. So, you know, if we can see through that, well, then suddenly we're no longer just sort of like the lab rats. We're going, hey, I'm looking up out of the glass now. I'm not just following these little trails of food that are left to see where, so that you can watch where I go. I think I'm being manipulated now by something external. Now, of course, you don't believe that. You think it's all us, but I don't know. There's way too many cases out there that just, for any, I think any reasonable person to think it's all just coming from inside our brain.
So let's walk together as far as we can. And where our roads must part, follow them to the end.
I like where they meet, because I think that you're really onto something. Like, whether we have separate views on the objective reality of the phenomenon or not, I think that the work you're doing and the stuff that you're describing could be very valuable. Like, maybe, okay, a person could argue that you're just looking at it through your particular worldview as a religious studies scholar, just like a ghost hunter looks at it through, well, their belief in afterlives. Or maybe a person who's into science looks at it as some sort of a spaceship. Yeah, you see what I'm saying there? But we can't be too quick to write off any of those, because together, all of those experiences add up to be a really interesting study in what the phenomena is doing to our culture.
What do you have any thoughts about the most recent developments? That is what, to me, is the most extraordinary thing, that the New York Times is now unabashedly pro-UFO.
Wow, that's been a real shift, hasn't it? Yeah, talk to us about that, David.
Fantastic. I mean, that seemed to me there was some hints of it even before 2017. But at the end of 2017, when the Times ran a piece on the Pentagon's supposedly secret program that was co-authored by Helene Cooper, Ralph Blumenthal, and Leslie Kane, then I thought something is happening here that boggles the mind. I mean, Leslie Kane is a tremendously well-known UFO author who had no connection with the New York Times, and yet she's given a byline. What is going on here?
Well, maybe, Gene, you can give us your opinion on that, too. But I think maybe people like Bassett are partly right, that we're reaching a sort of critical mass in society where we're able to accept the idea that we are not alone in the universe, that there is some sort of an alien presence here that's influencing us in some way, shape, or form. Even if we don't know what it is, everybody's still interpreting it according to their own worldview, but something is really going on. I don't think people can deny it anymore.
Now, up until that article came out, I was convinced that Leslie Kane had more or less given up on UFOs. She wrote a book on psychic phenomena. We had her on the show. And then this thing came out of the blue. And obviously, it was spearheaded to a great extent by the To the Stars Academy and everything else. So we wonder what that is about. But it does give the impression here that there's an official government effort to convey the impression that we are going to learn a lot more about UFOs. But these are about solid UFOs. And what is the motive here? That can start a whole discussion. If it's not what it's pretended to be or it's perceived to be, what is it?
I mean, I am looking now. I just pulled it out of my file drawer. The Week magazine of June 14th, 2019, the cover story is taking UFOs seriously, why the Pentagon is urging pilots to report their close encounters. And there is a painting show on the cover showing a jet piloted by a single man, and then above him there is a disc piloted by two small green men with faces like the standard one on Whitley Strieber's Communion. One of them, apparently they're friendly, one of them is smiling and waving. And then lower, equally in the sky, is baby Trump wearing a diaper.
I love it.
Why?
That is fabulous.
There is no other, the story inside, I didn't write down the page not where it is UFOs, why the military isn't scoffing anymore, in which every comment is at least mildly sympathetic to ufology. No explanation of what baby Trump has to do with the rest of the picture.
It just makes it better. That's all. Whatever the case.
That's the question.
Well, you know, really, though, the New York Times article must be fake news. The failing New York Times and the Amazon Washington Post taking it seriously. How could we believe that?
Yeah, the Washington Post runs an op-ed complaining UFOs aren't taken seriously enough. And I begin to there's a Yiddish word, Mashiach, like Messiah times, that when I was a teenage ufologist, this would have been Mashiach.
Yeah.
The Washington Post and the New York Times standing up for UFOs.
As they say, who could have thunk it? It's a new world out there. Let's talk about that in our final segment. We're talking to David Halperin, and he's a scholar. So he knows his stuff about Judaic studies. I can't even begin to approach that. I can't even speak Hebrew anymore. But don't get me started on that. With Gene, David, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey, everyone.
everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
David Halperin, don't talk to me about that. My son Grayson forgot his Hebrew very shortly after his bar mitzvah. Today it's English, Spanish, Portuguese, a little bit of French. Oh, well. Let's get on with this here. So this, what appears to be almost a gradual attempt at disclosure, if they're seriously expecting physical UFOs, physical spaceships or something, where does that stand, David Halperin, in relation to your theory?
Okay, I do not believe it's disclosure, and I still disbelieve in the physical UFOs. Okay, and I want to avoid any political partisanship here. I think you can love Trump, you can hate him. But I think most people will accept that there was a seismic change in the American psyche with the 2016 election. And I think when seismic changes happen, UFOs are very likely to somehow manifest. It is not accidental that it is the failing New York Times and the Washington Post that are beating the drums for UFOs.
Basically, the New York Times is not failing, by the way. Its digital sales are up. It's
yes, succeeding. I should have put scare quotes around.
Or, for example, the Amazon Washington Post, because Jeff Bezos runs that as a separate company. So we can put quotes there as well. Okay, so what are they doing? If it's not real disclosure, are they trying to divert our attention from something else?
I don't think they're trying to do anything. I think something, as in John Lennon's psyche, that August evening in which the atheist discovered that the enchanted heavens are real and will return, I think something is forcing its way out. And I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's
this,
fair enough.
To me, is the UFO mystery. It is not a mystery of space beings or other planets. It is a mystery of people like you and me, like John Lennon, like Gray Barker, like Richard Shaver, who all are manifesting something very important that, to me, is part of the phenomenon of religion.
Or whatever your belief system happens to be, because, again, the phenomena appears to mirror the worldview of the experiencer. So we're looking at this case with the Nimitz encounters, for example, the one that we're talking about, and what it's doing is it's mirroring a military exercise. It's taking part in a military exercise. And then what happens is we've got the program that's dedicated to it. It's the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. So it's playing right into this idea, again, that the phenomenon is mirroring the worldview of the experiencer. You've got a jet pilot that takes off from an aircraft carrier, vectored towards an object by radar, locks on with his, and sees it visually, too. So it's pretty hard to say that there's not some objective reality there, or that people are just conjuring this up and manifesting it in some psychic sense somehow. There's something going on that is objectively real, and yet it's still doing the same thing.
That is mirroring us.
It is. And something else this reminds me of, too, when we were talking about how in the ancient days we had, if we were to think of these alien beings as gods, taking sides in different wars, then we come all the way forward, and one of the sci-fi shows that Gene likes to mention every once in a while is The Day the Earth Stood Still. Well, what do we have there? We have the shining alien being coming down, warning us about world peace, and if we don't listen, the robot is going to step in and clean it all up for us, just like the Judeo-Christian God is going to do in the apocalypse.
Yeah. I would find it very hard to accept von Däniken's formulation that what we call gods are extraterrestrials whom our ancestors just didn't recognize. I would rather say the gods of their myths and the ETs of our myths spring from the same source. And I will say the same human source and acknowledge that you would see it differently.
I see both sides, and I see the value in what you're talking about, too, because as a scholar in ancient religious studies, you are trying to get right into the mindset or the worldview of the people at the time. And I think that you're absolutely right. If we just sort of go with the von Däniken view of ancient aliens, and by the way, everyone out there who's into ancient aliens should also go and check out Ancient Aliens Debunked on YouTube. It's fabulous. It's the other side of the story. But I think we're really missing something important about ancient cultures if we just map the whole von Däniken thing on it.
Yeah.
What should we be doing? We're getting towards the end of the show. So are you doing any talks? We know. Tell us again about your new book coming out and just sort of sum up your most important points and what you think that we should be doing.
UFOs are not real, nor are they bunk. They are myth, which has a powerful reality that goes beyond the physical. They are a religious phenomenon, not, as debunkers like to say, a religious cult, but rather an authentic religious experience for those who encounter them, and an authentic religious myth for those who haven't.
Thank you for coming on the show, David. It's been a wonderful discussion.
Please tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
I blog on UFOs and religion at www.davidhalperin.net. And my book, Intimate Alien, The Hidden Story of the UFO, is scheduled to appear from Stanford University Press the third week of March. And who, I don't know who did the cover, but he or she is a genius.
Is the cover illustration available anywhere for us to see?
I will be sending it out with my email newsletter on Tuesday.
Okay, we're talking here about the 3rd of September, the day after Labor Day. The show is being done on Thursday, August 29th, for airing on the 1st of September. You can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. Look for The Paracast on Twitter. Also look for two Facebook sections, fan clubs, communities, groups, whatever Facebook calls them. I can't keep up with the Facebook stuff. We go on there because we want all our listeners to be informed. But I think if I could find a better way of doing it, I am not sanguine about Facebook. We also have another radio show called After the Paracast, and it's available only if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. It's a special feature. We offer continuations of an existing episode. The guest is agreeing to stay with us for a bit longer. We also feature William Puckett, who's a retired atmospheric scientist who worked with the EPA. And the EPA is getting trashed these days, but he's not experiencing it since he retired. But he covers UFOs, and he provides a really, really smart analysis of these cases. He brings to us a lot of fascinating ones. He explained some of ways, brought some photos, fascinating. That's one of the main features of After the Paracast each and every week. And once again, the only way to get that show is to become a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com to sign up. And we give you all the information there on becoming a member. We also offer an enhanced version of this show that's free of the network ads. David Halpern, my friend, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.